You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hey, here's an interesting thing, something I do. Perhaps you'll also enjoy it. Every now and then, I type artificial intelligence on Google and look for news on artificial intelligence. And the news that I get every time I look at this Google search is bewilderingly new. The latest thing is, of course, that artificial intelligence has learned how to do teamwork. According to Science Magazine, AI, that when AI only has one opponent in, let's say, a game, it usually does pretty well since it's only anticipating the possible moves of a single mind. But now they have learned to do teamwork. Computers have dominated humans in one-on-one games, of course, like chess. We know about Deep Blue and Garry Kasparov, etc. But getting artificial intelligence to cooperate with teammates is a whole lot trickier. Now, researchers at Google's DeepMind project have taught AI players to work together on teams with both humans and other computers to compete in the video game Quake 3 Arena. So, AI is learning teamwork. And I'm guessing that all of you are thinking that this is the beginning of Rise of Machines. But I don't know. Is it that simple? That is precisely what we dig deep into on today's edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control. Is artificial intelligence really a threat to humanity? The premise is what we're going to be discussing on this edition with me, Rakesh Sharma, right here on Money Control.
The Deep Dive podcast series. Is artificial intelligence a threat to humanity?
Let's start at the very beginning, because the beginning is a very good place to start. What is artificial intelligence? Now, first of all, let's talk about one of my favorite things in the world. Not just a favorite film, not just a favorite book. I'm just saying, if I had to list out a list of my favorite things, full stop, this would be probably somewhere in the top five. 2001: A Space Odyssey. I hope a lot of you people remember it. Science fiction fans and movie buffs definitely remember it. This Stanley Kubrick movie, which was based on short stories by Arthur C. Clarke, and in fact was written along with Arthur C. Clarke, was a groundbreaker in terms of a popular discussion on artificial intelligence. It was also one of our first exposure to supercomputers, which store humongous amounts of information and are also capable of processing this information and acting on it. In the movie, HAL, which by the way was made, the name was coined by shifting a letter outside of IBM. So H-I-A-B-L-M. So IBM ke thoda piche is HAL. This HAL is this computer possessing artificial intelligence in 2001: A Space Odyssey, and it begins to act like a human being with a mind of its own, seeking to protect its own faulty decisions and even getting to the stage of being expressing emotions. I don't want to give too much away because I desperately want you all to watch 2001: A Space Odyssey, one of the greatest marvels of filmmaking. But let's just say, in the end, HAL has something akin to a lobotomy. His higher intelligence and consciousness are sort of deactivated and he regresses. I'm saying he, but it is essentially. It regresses to a very basic condition with just the initial pre-programmed inputs. That movie showed the potential dangers of artificial intelligence when one cannot grasp or even foresee the extent of its abilities. Now, while on that, also remember that this movie was made more than 50 years ago. So we're not talking about a phenomenon that's like spanking new. The idea of artificial intelligence, the idea of machines possessing a certain sentience, a certain intelligence of their own, is certainly not a newfangled one. On a somewhat lighter note, for comic book enthusiasts, although comic book enthusiasts will tell you that there's nothing light note about comic books, you might remember the story of Mandrake the Magician, in which there's a supercomputer called Goliath, which has been fed all the information in the world. And now this Goliath goes rogue and starts building an army of robots in order to take over the world and make it perfect. Now, cut to the present. Outside of the worlds of books and television shows and movies, what we have today in real life are advanced versions of artificial intelligence that operate through little handheld devices. So much of our lives is run by some form of artificial intelligence or another, even though we may not be conscious of it. For example, a very basic form of artificial intelligence runs motion-sensitive appliances like lights and fans and air conditioners. A more advanced operation that most of us use quite frequently is mobile navigation. Over the last few years, GPS and the ubiquity of data have made map directions and suggested routes so accurate and so precise that an hour-long journey can be predicted by in a matter of a couple of minutes. Besides, the time is calibrated on a continuous basis as a result of continuous data crunching. Or for that matter, take speech-to-text or personal assistant on your mobile phone. Within a short time, from the sample of a few hundred spoken words, they're able to understand the quirks of your accent, and they're able to decipher your words. So Indian accents are no longer difficult for machines to understand because, well, feed it a few hundred spoken words and it knows what your accent is and what your vocal quirks are. It was only a half a dozen years ago that reliable speech-to-text required installing a massive application on your laptop and reading out to it a prepared page of text till the program was satisfied, generally in a language, in an accent that was acceptable, I suppose, to the Western AI. Now, no longer. There are hundreds of examples we could keep enumerating and explaining, but these few would give enough of an indication of how pervasive and integral artificial intelligence has become in our lives. But these, experts would say, still operate in a very limited area and are tackling highly specific tasks based on a given set of rules. So essentially, they're still operating like machines that have been told what to do. Now, all these operations still essentially depend on massive data crunching, applying a set of rules, leading to fresh calculations and fresh conclusions. We're still at some level talking about intellectual robotics, if one can even call it that. An advanced level of that would be the artificial intelligence that enables the fly-by-wire function in airplanes. Here, dozens of variables are being continuously monitored, based on which minute course corrections are made continuously. Artificial intelligence has been in increasing use in the area of gaming. Take the game of chess. I mentioned Deep Blue earlier. Deep Blue was the first computer that was developed to play chess. The project was done at Carnegie Mellon University in 1985 and was later taken over by IBM, which, by the way, gave HAL his name. Deep Blue created history by becoming the first machine to win a game against a reigning chess champion, though it took a decade of refining for that to happen. Remember that the opponent was Garry Kasparov. However, that first win was followed by 3 losses in the 6-game match. A year later, however, an upgraded Deep Blue beat Kasparov in another match. Again, Deep Blue and many later chess-playing programs relied on the same method of massive data inputs, enormous processing power, and brute force computing. This is where Google's DeepMind and AlphaZero need to come in. A year and a half ago, AlphaZero, which is the game-playing artificial intelligence, beat the world's best chess program. The notable point is not that, though. It is that AlphaZero was the first truly successful artificial intelligence game program. In its earlier avatar as AlphaGo, a program designed to play the Chinese game Go, had beaten KG, the best player in the world, twice in succession, in an exhibition of intelligence that G referred to as godlike. AlphaGo was later tweaked to be able to learn and play other games and christened AlphaZero. It was AlphaGo, it became AlphaZero. And in an awesome, and some might even say frightening, display of learning, AlphaZero, which had been fed with nothing but the basic rules of chess, beat Stockfish 8, which is the most powerful chess-playing program. And it did this after teaching itself to play for just 4 hours. 4 hours, and it beat the most powerful chess-playing program in the world. Even though this still falls in the realm of specific tasks within given sets of rules, we can expect that this is what the future of artificial intelligence is going to be like. It will surely go beyond being good at chess to being good at learning and being good at most other things that a human being can do. But how good can artificial intelligence get at tasks that require general intelligence, where the parameters are unknown and continuously changing? How well can it operate in situations that require fuzzy logic? And if artificial intelligence does get good at that kind of learning and application, how could it be directed to do only those things that benefit humans and stopped from going beyond or aside on their own? Essentially, how do we stop the rise of sentient machines and us humans becoming subservient to them? Let's find out first, though, what the benefits of artificial intelligence are. Alright, but first things first, it is clear now that artificial intelligence has enormous potential in expanding the range of human knowledge and endeavor. Broadly speaking, artificial intelligence is already making distinct differences in convenience and comfort, to say nothing, of course, of information. All three are served usefully by the various digital personal assistants that a lot of services and products these days come with. When coupled with the advances in the area of Internet of Things, that is IoT, we reach a point where digital assistants not just follow instructions, but operate also like a perfect butler, perfect Jeeves, reminding you of things, cleaning up after you, and preceding your arrival by keeping your house and appliances in exactly the condition you prefer. It's essentially Stephen Fry in human form and not asking much out of you. Assistants have become personal and efficient to the extent that one might even form deep emotional bonds with these products and software. Something out of Her, that film with Joaquin Phoenix. Too often, when we chat online, we are unable to tell whether the voice or text writer at the other end is a human or a bot. That's just how good this software has become at effective communication. When automation extends to where the machines and the programs running them can make decisions on their own, we have a situation where we save time and money and gain speed and accuracy. The amount of data that is available when it is fed into a computer system is able to enormously help in the diagnosis of diseases, for example. Take, for example, the various little deviations from normal which can be computed over time with algorithms dealing with multiple variables to the extent that it can provide pointers to impending diseases or physiological conditions much before the symptoms manifest fully enough for a definitive diagnosis. Now, a doctor might have seen thousands of scans of one thing, but a machine can be taught and made to remember millions of scans. So variations from the norm that much more easily detected by AI. And we're talking here of things like cancer, diabetes, dementia. The gains here do not have to be explicitly stated to be understood. Extend this data processing and analysis, and we could have a situation where these intelligent programs would be able to play an enormous positive impact worldwide in the areas of disease prevention, food sufficiency, water distribution, and efficiencies in all areas of human need and endeavor. We are also at that stage where neural networks are trying to recreate the workings of the brain. This could provide crucial insight into how our brain functions and perhaps give us a peek into the mysteries of life itself. To quote Stephen Hawking, the potential benefits are huge. Everything that civilization has to offer is a product of human intelligence. We cannot predict what we might achieve when this intelligence is magnified by the tools that artificial intelligence may provide, but the eradication of war, disease, and poverty would be high on anyone's list. Success in creating artificial intelligence would be the biggest event in human history. End quote. Hawking then proceeded to state that there are no real limits to what can be achieved. As he said, there is not physical law precluding particles from being organized in ways that perform even more advanced computations than the arrangements of particles in human brains. Unquote.
The Deep Dive podcast series. Is artificial intelligence a threat to humanity?
Well, benefits done. The other question we're also asking is, what are the threats posed by artificial intelligence? So it looks like machines will be better than humans in many ways, and we've recognized that. So what might that mean in ways that could be unpleasant for us? The same Hawking has also commented upon the disturbing aspects of artificial intelligence and how we might understand or not understand it. In his own words, expressing disapproval about the manner in which artificial intelligence was being dealt with, he said, "Facing possible futures of incalculable benefits and risks, the experts are surely doing everything possible to ensure the best outcome, right? Wrong. If a superior alien civilization sent us a message which said we'll arrive in a few decades, would we just reply, 'Okay, call us when you get here, we'll leave the lights on'? Probably not. But this is more or less what is happening with artificial intelligence." Unquote. He was, of course, talking about the existentialist risk to humanity from super intelligent machines and programs, about the idea that they could supersede humanity and pave the way for the ultimate extinction of the species. Elon Musk, entrepreneur who's also been active on the cutting edge of technology, has called artificial intelligence, quote, "more dangerous than nuclear warheads." Unquote. To these two important voices, Bill Gates has added his bemused expression when he said, "I don't understand why some people are not concerned." Unquote. But there are voices that rubbish these fears. Jaron Lanier computer philosophy writer and computer scientist, even dismissed the talk about machines even being intelligent in any way. While the extent to which AI might progress as a possible threat to humanity itself is in the middle of debate, there are many aspects of AI that have been flagged as potential dangers if there's no attempt to understand the implications of the sweeping developments happening in the field. One of the threats most talked about is how AI might behave when entire operations are left to it to be done. If AI is taken to its logical conclusion, it must reach a stage where it would react and respond in the way humans would, in which case, one would expect it to take decisions that work in its favor. Then how does one manage AI so that it works not to its own best benefit, but to that of humans? Don't we know Sagan's laws? Robots must work for humans, not themselves. Another threat or area of discomfort deals with the algorithms themselves. They process humongous amounts of data to work efficiently, and this automatically leads to the problem of privacy. This also results in personal profiling, which includes aggregation of almost every bit of personal detail that results from one's online activity. What is the level of comfort, and how far is this profiling likely to go? Already, we have a situation such as in China, where profiling and facial recognition have led to almost complete monitoring of the citizenry, their status, and their activities. This affects a person's life from being unable to access products and services to being branded in undesirable ways on the basis of temporary or questionable data. With algorithms, there are other concerns, like the lack of transparency of data, which means that we can be in a situation where we don't know how data has been processed in the first place to arrive at a specific conclusion or decision. This would be crucial, for example, in medical or military decisions. This is especially true of a weak or narrow intelligence system, which reaches decisions mainly on the basis of data crunching. If, along the way, one step goes awry or involves a non-optimal call, it could result in disastrously unpredictable results. This could happen in, say, in utilities supply chains or decisions based on reading economic data by artificial intelligence. Unlike narrow AI, general AI, also sometimes referred to as strong AI or full AI, is what approximates to human intelligence. 2 years ago, about 40 organizations were working on the concept of general AI. Without set guidelines, research could reach undesirable points. Social manipulation using powerful algorithms is already a reality at various levels. It's almost like Black Mirror. This has the ability and power to change and direct human behavior that can skew important events around the globe. Election results being affected through social media manipulation has already happened, with investigations being conducted on how and how much this might have happened. Here, we are also talking about targeted news, fake news, audio and video manipulation, where it becomes difficult to distinguish between fact and fiction. Now we know deepfakes, where it is completely possible to superimpose the face of someone else onto someone else and having them say horrible things which were not said by them at all. And these deepfakes are harder and harder to detect. Of course, some of the extreme prognostications regarding the threats of artificial intelligence have also been poo-pooed. However, the very fact that there are serious threats that continue to be seriously discussed as possibilities must itself make us want to ask questions and tread with caution in how we handle this important step in the history of mankind. There's the general consensus that AI is here to stay and is an inevitable part of the future of mankind. It is truly up to us now, humans, to know where this might lead and to see that the enormous benefits and promise of AI are used for the benefit of the whole of humanity and not for the short-term benefit of a few with a narrow profit motive. After all, what is at stake is not just the bottom line of companies, but humanity itself.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.